Church, boy, it's good to be back out with everybody this morning. I praise God for the opportunity to be out here today. We went up to my mom's yesterday, and sure enough, on the way up there, it seemed like it rained the whole way up there. It rained while we were up there. And this morning, as we were leaving to come down to church this morning, it rained on us for just since we pulled out of our house. It started raining a little bit right there. Went down the road no more than 100 yards, and it hadn't rained. I told her, isn't that just like us? Isn't that just like us? I mean, it's just raining right now on us. But why I say that this morning is, because God is good. The title of my sermon this morning is, It's Worth the Wait. You know what I'm saying? Because after the rain, there will be sun again. And after the sun and the rain, there will be growth again. And I just praise God for all that. You know, I'm not up here complaining to you. I'm just telling you, just like with Stephanie in the hospital Friday, and then all the stuff's been going on, sometimes you think, oh, woe is me. Well, you know what? We all have issues. We all have problems. We all have these things. But can I tell you something? It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. And I'll tell you what my scripture today, let's go turn to Isaiah 40. 31. I'm also going to be over in the book of Luke, chapter 15, a little bit. I'm going to be at both places. You can mark Luke. I'm going to read. I want you to stand when you get to Isaiah 40, 31, if you can, or if you want to this morning. We'll read that together. Isaiah 40, the 31st verse. And the scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I want you to understand these next three things. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall fly. They shall run and not be weary. And it also says, and they shall walk and not faint. I want you to understand it. You can fly, you can run, or you can walk. But praise God, the wait's going to be worth it. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we ask you, Father, to be with the service this morning, be with this, with the word this morning, Lord, as it goes out. I pray, Father, that you'd be with me as I bring the strength and bring the word this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for your anointing upon it, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that as we go down through the rest of this day, Lord, that, Father, that, Lord, we will always give you the praise, always give you the glory for what you've done, Lord, and what you're going to do. And we'll praise you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Now, I want you to look at the person beside you and tell them, it's worth the wait. I want you to tell them that this morning, because I believe it is. They that wait on the Lord, it is used to mean, let him become your lifeline, and let him become, if you look at how it is presented there, and if you go back and you check it out, what it means this, it means that let him become your lifeline, and let him become your cord of escape. Because we all know life is full of highs and it's full of lows. There's just no doubt about it. We can be on the mountaintop 1 minute, and we can be in the valley the very next minute. Absolutely. And I'm talking to God's people here this morning. I'm not talking to anybody else right now. I'm talking to God's people. But if we learn to wait on the Lord, the scripture tells us this. Then God would be able for us to fly. He's able for us to run. And he's able for us to walk across the finish line one day. That's the God that we serve. If we wait and upon him, and do not try to get in his way, do not try to do things on our own, it says to wait upon him. Wait upon him. The man or woman of faith may sometimes soar on eagle's wings. There have been times I have been high. The Spirit has just blessed me beyond measure, and I've been able to soar. There have been times that I have run. Praise God. And you know what? I have not got weary because God and the Spirit have been with me. And there are times, brothers and sisters, men and women of God, we just plod along sometimes. We just walk because we walk by faith, not sight. And during the times that we walk and are walking, sometimes we're not on top of the mountain, we're not up there real high, but we are walking by faith. That is the time whenever we will grow in the Lord the best. That is a time when we will grow in God's grace. I compare it to whenever you cut down a tree and you look at that tree and you see those growth rings. I can look back in my life, and I praise God for this. I can see the growth rings in my life. Whenever, you know, I was walking through the valleys in my life, but I had to walk by faith. I had to say, I had to depend on God with everything that I had in me. That's what I did. And the real test of our faith comes when we're not flying, when we're not running, but whenever we're walking in simple faith with God sometimes. Listen, a preacher gave me some advice one time, and I'm just going to give it to you. You can accept it or you cannot. Sometimes slow and steady wins the race. Can I have an amen? Amen. Sometimes slow and steady wins the race. And sometimes that might just mean just keep on keeping on. Just keep on walking. So whenever you don't feel God at your best, whenever you don't feel like you're on the mountain, listen to me. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and he said, with wings of eagles, or when you run, or when you walk, and guess what he said he'll do? You will finish one day. In other words, keep on keeping on. Even during the times you don't feel on top of the world. And there will be times when you're waiting for an answer, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and guess what you got to do? You just got to keep on plodding along. You just got to keep on walking. You just got to keep on walking. Don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about all the noise and all the white noise beside it. You keep right on walking. And I understand this. Waiting can be hard. Anybody ever waited and it's been hard on you, has it not? I've been there. Hard for some folks. I understand waiting is hard for some circumstances with folks. I know that. But during these times of waiting, let me tell you this. That's when growth happens in our lives. That's when it will happen. During the times when the answer don't come just like that. During those times when we're waiting. Maybe we're waiting on the doctor to call. Maybe we're waiting on a job interview. Maybe we're waiting on this. Maybe we're waiting on that. Maybe we're waiting on a loved one to be saved. And you know what? It just doesn't happen on your time. Right? It happens on God's time. And we wait for Him. And now that's whenever we're plodding along and we go like it says here. Listen, There's a lot of different versions of you sitting in the seats this morning. God showed me something. There may be a lot of different versions in your clothes here this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? There could be a happy you here this morning. There could be a sad you here this morning. There could be a restless you here this morning. There could be a calm you. There could be a cautious you here this morning. There could be an impulsive you here this morning. Serious you, a mischievous you, a quiet you, and an outgoing you. But you know something? There could be an overlooked you here this morning, sitting in your clothes here this morning. What do you mean by overlooked? I'm thinking about the person who, you know what? They have more faith in the end of their little finger than I do, my whole body, because they're sitting there and they believe what God tells them, and they're believing that God can do what He says He can do, and they walk and they keep on going no matter where they're struck in life. You know what? I can't get to know everybody in this church. I just can't. I know a few of you real well, but I don't know all of you on a personal basis. I would love to do that. But I can tell you there are times in your life that, you know what? There are people in here who are probably stronger than what anybody ever gives them credit for. And they're holding on to God's hand and they're walking and they're plodding along. And I praise God for you people because I feel your prayers. I feel when you pray for me. I feel when you pray for my family. And I praise God for that. Go into how you walk as a child of faith. And no matter what version of you is sitting right here this morning, it's worth the wait. It's worth waiting on God. It's worth not getting ahead of Him and pray and let Him go. I praise God this morning for that. Maybe you're in a hurry. Maybe God isn't. Amen. Amen. Been there. I'm in a hurry. I want to get things done. But maybe God's not in no hurry just right now. It'll be worth the wait when that answer finally comes through. It'll be worth the wait. Now, I want to switch gears and I want to draw something else into it. And maybe you're not a saved person sitting here this morning. I don't know everybody here this morning. I don't know your heart, but maybe you're not saved here this morning. Maybe you're lost and you've never experienced salvation whatsoever in your life. And maybe you've never felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Maybe. I don't know. That's why, and maybe we should deal with the Maybe we should deal with the devil that we know, and maybe not worry about the devil that we don't know. And I'm going to tell you why I say that sometimes. You're sitting here this morning and you're lost. And maybe you look around and you think, well, you know what? I wish I was more like this one, and wish I was more like that one, and more. I wish I was this. I'll tell you what you need to do this morning is you need to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior first. Then worry about what else is going on around your life and who else to worry about. That's why the 10th commandment says what? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, right? Because, brother said, you don't know what's going on in your neighbor's house. It may not be exactly what you think's going on in your neighbor's house. You know what? If you was in your neighbor's house, you may want back in yours, but quicker than what you think. You know what? I'm just here to tell you, if you turn to Luke 15 now, and I'm going to read some scripture about the prodigal son. And most of you in here have heard the story of the prodigal son enough in your life. I'm telling you, the Christians went to church long enough. You could probably quote it verbatim. You probably know all of it right down the line. Well, I'm going to start with verse 15. That's where I'm starting at in this. And I'm going to go through, and I want to talk about each of these verses down through there as the Lord has given them to me on this. In Luke 15, beginning with verse 15, and it says this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. Now, if you've never heard this story, I'm going to go just a little bit. I'm just going to go a little bit back on it. We find a prodigal son. We find a son leaving his father's house, what he's doing, and joining himself to an individual in another country who was not a covenant-keeping person. You know why I know that? Because he got swine. He's feeding pigs. He's not a covenant. And now when you join yourself to a different kind of person, they send you to do things you would never do before. Now, I'm talking to the lost here this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may say, I would never do that. You may say, I would never go there. But can I tell you something? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you join yourself to another individual or to somebody else out here, another, like it said there, you'll be doing things maybe you never thought you would ever do in your life. That's what he said. He joined himself. I'm going to read it again. He went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and sent him into the field to feed swine. You run with a pack of wolves long enough, you're going to start howling like them. Whether you want to or not, I'm here to tell you they will have an influence on you. And that's exactly what's going on here. He sent him into the fields to feed the swine, what he sent him out there to do. So the prince, I'm calling the prince his son, he was sent into the fields to feed hogs. And guess what? It started to look good to him. Listen, if you stay and you're out there running with that pack of wolves long enough, before long, things are going to start looking good to you. Things are going to start sounding good to you. The farther you get away from hearing about God's word, everything's going to start sounding really good to you again. And it said, and let's go down to 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The last part of that is sad to me. No man gave unto him. Whenever no man gives you anything, especially whatever it may be, it will create a natural appetite in you that it would be filled with something that has to be filled with something. And to fill that natural appetite sometimes, you will even eat slop. Have you ever fed your hog slop? I have. We had hogs when I was on the farm. It's just everything you could throw into that thing off the kitchen table. You mix it with a little bit of hog feed. You mix it up and you take it out and you pour it into the trough. And that's exactly what they eat. And I'll tell you what, I'm here to tell you, if you're lost and you begin to, if you hook yourself to the citizen of another country, if you start looking at stuff and it starts sounding good, brothers Greg, before long you're going to start eating slop. You're going to start eating slop. And you may be here this morning and you're thinking, well, what are you talking? I'm talking about you're out here in the world. You're going after the things of the world. The things of the world sound good to you. And after a while, they start, that appetite of yours has to be filled with something, and you will take it all in as much as you can take it in. Folks, that's why as a child of faith, it is the utmost importance that we give unto people. How's that? The message of the cross. Give unto, it said here, and no man give unto him. Listen, can I tell you something? I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm giving it to you point blank this morning. You better be saved whenever Jesus Christ either takes you out of this world or you get called home at the day of the rapture. You better be saved. You better be born again. There better not be no doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. Because if there is, you will split hell wide open. I'm giving it to you this morning. It says there, no man give it. I'm giving it to you. Anybody here this morning that may be lost and undone and maybe have a shred of doubt in your mind, I'm telling you, if there's a shred of doubt in your mind, this altar is what it's for here this morning. It's what it's for. The message of the cross. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. Woe unto you. If you do not testify of the gospel, can I have an amen? Amen. Woe unto you. And when he came, verse 17, and when he came to himself, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? When he came to himself. I'm telling you, some people say the age of accountability is 13 or 14 or whatever. You know what I say the age of accountability is? It's whenever you come to the understanding that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's when it is. Whenever Jesus Christ, I've heard of people getting saved as young as 6 and 7 years old. Don't doubt it one bit. I've heard of people getting saved when they were in their 80s and 90s. Don't doubt it a bit. But you know what? They come to themselves one day. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you're going to get to heaven one day, if you're going to enjoy the riches of heaven, you're going to have to come to yourself one day. Amen. You're going to have to come to yourself one day. You're going to have to get rid of all the nonsense. You're going to have to get rid of all the stuff that's out here. You're going to have to come to yourself. You're going to have to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I say, when the Holy Spirit converts you, no matter the age, you realize God is good. Amen. That's what you realize. And you give Him your life over to Him. The world slop doesn't appeal to you anymore. Can I have an amen? Amen. I got saved. The slop of the world didn't appeal to me anymore. It didn't appeal to me anymore. The alcohol, the drugs, the things of this world that used to just turn me on, don't turn me on anymore. I praise God this morning that you know what? The slop of this world, I got rid of it. And I'm telling you, my Bible tells me that you can come to Him and He will save your soul if the Spirit is dealing with you. It's life over the world stops. You'll start eating from the King's table then. Can I have an amen? That's where you'll start eating. You won't be in the hog trough anymore. You'll start eating at the King's table. And by the way, I'm 65 years young, and I'm still trying to find myself. Amen? I'm still coming to myself to say. I still want to serve Him. I still want as much of Him as I can get. I still want to eat from the King's table. And I pray that you never lose that desire to want to come and feed from the King's table. I hope you never lose that desire. Listen, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Is anybody hungry in here this morning? I'm not talking about hungry spirit by your physical hungry. I'm talking spiritual hungry. I'm talking, do you really and truly want to eat from the King's table this morning? Is that your desire this morning? I hope and pray that it is. I hope and pray that, you know what? I hope and pray that, just like he said, there's so much that my father has. And he said, I'm sitting here hungry. Can I tell you, if you're sitting back here today and you're hungry from the desire for God's things, you know whose fault that is? That's yours. In my father's house are many mansions. In my father's house, we can eat from the King's table. Want the true change. Listen, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the Bible tells at the end of that? For they shall be what? Halfway full? It says you will be filled. That's what it says. I'm not putting words in there that's not in there. It says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled, is what it says. And if you want true change, now I'm not talking something superficial. I'm talking about if you want true change, truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will find it. You will find it. You have to want it with every ounce of your being, holding nothing back. Whether you're lost or you're a seasoned Christian, if you are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, I'm telling you, God can put the bill. He can fit the bill for you. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Be hungry and starving. And where did he turn? Did he go to the preacher? No. No, I want you to look at that verse 18 again. I will rise and go to my Father. You see how the Father is spelt with a lowercase F? You see that? And will say unto him, Father. You see how that's spelt? An uppercase F. You know what that means? He's talking to God there. He said, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And he said, I'm hungry and starving. He didn't turn to the preacher. He didn't turn to the priest. He isn't going to the deacons or the trustees. And he's not coming to Drift Run Church just for that, is he, Michelle? Brothers and sisters, he's going to the Father. Amen. He's going to the one that can do it. He's going to the one that can help. You can come up here, Laura, and shake my hand all you want to. Anybody can. And it ain't going to do you no good. Can I use that language? It ain't going to do you no good. You got to go to the Father. Amen? You have to go to the Father. That's what it says. I will rise and go to the Father. Jesus said in John 14:6, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's what Jesus said. He prayed to the Father. He said, the Father, whenever I leave, the Father will send a comforter, and he will abide down here. And brother said, we can depend on that. The prodigal knew there was only one person able to help change his circumstances, and that was the Father. That's what he knew. The Father. And he said, look at the next part. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He knew his admission of sin would give him access to who? Access to the Father. It's got to be a repentant sin. It's got to be a prayer of repentance. And brother said, when you have a prayer of repentance, then you can get a hold of the Father. I know I say this a good bit, but let me tell you, I just want you to know this is not because I'm giddy of it. Matter of fact, I feel for you. If you're lost, your prayers go nowhere unless it's a prayer of repentance. That's it. The Bible, I can prove it to you in the Bible. I can take and show you Scripture. If you're lost and you're not saved, you might as well not pray unless you're praying a prayer of repentance. I've had people, I'll pray for you. Somebody else that's a Christian will pray for you. And they do, I guarantee it. He knew his admission of sin would give him access to the Father. 1 John 1:9, listen to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. That's the prayer he wants to hear from the sinner. Now, look at what he does in verse 18 and 19. I'm going to read the last part of 18 again. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He was humbled. He was willing to do anything to get fed. That's how everyone who is hungry must come. Did you know that? That's how you must come. You must come humble. You must come humble with a contrite heart, with a contrite spirit. That's how you come when the Spirit's dealing with you. That's how you come. That's whenever God can deal with you, whether you're saved, whether you're a Christian and there's things going on in your life. Come humbly. Come with a contrite heart. Let God deal with you. Let him deal with the problem. But you've got to come that way. That's just the way he did it there. And he said, and he knew his, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Look at how he does it. Look, and he says, he was humbled in Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the Lord and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now get this, this is a good scripture. Whose name is holy, I dwell, listen to this, in high and holy places, there's one, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He not only dwells in high and holy places, but if you are of a contrite spirit, he dwells in you as well. Isn't that awesome? That shows you what kind of God that we serve. Humble, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifice of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. What he's saying? He said, I'm not going to turn away from that. I'm not going to turn away from that. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, he said. I don't even deserve to be your son. Just make me your servant. Folks, you realize we don't deserve anything from God. We don't deserve anything that we got from God. But because of the good God that we serve, he gives us so much. He gives us so much. I say this quite often, but it would take me, I could stand up here and tell you of the blessings of God on my life, and it would take the rest of the service, and probably half of you would leave within an hour. Because you know what? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I don't even deserve it. Just make me a servant. Ephesians 2. I'm going to read this because I wrote this down. I found this. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. There may be people in here walking to the course of this world. Again, I say eating from the slop of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, now listen, there's always that but. Now understand that three little word right there, but. If it wasn't for God, but for Jesus Christ, but. Listen what it says. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, and his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The prodigal hit rock bottom. I don't know, you may be on rock bottom here this morning. You know, God knows. You may be at rock bottom here. He was hungry. He was tired of eating slop. He's heading back home to the Father to ask forgiveness and not to pick back up where he left off. That wasn't what it's about. All he wants is just to be called a servant. That's all he wanted. And look what happens. And he arose and came to the Father. But when he was a great ways off, the Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. God sees you just as you are here this morning. He knows what condition your soul is in this morning. God doesn't look away. He doesn't turn back on you, no matter how deep you're into sin. Do you know what? We serve a God that no matter how black your sin is this morning, God can look down on it. He don't look away, Patty. Amen. Doesn't look away. Oh, no. That's why he sent his son to die upon the cross for us. That's why he sent. He doesn't look away. He doesn't look away because of how bad. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that he wants you to come unto him. He wants you to come unto him. He wants you to come and give your life to him. God doesn't look away. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. King David was an adulterer and a murderer who repented with a contrite heart. God still loved him. In Acts 13:22, it even says this, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. The wait was worth it. Amen. Paul was a murderer of Christians. Acts 9:1, and Saul, that was his name before they changed it to Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That's what he did. He was sent out to kill the Christians is what he was sent out to do. Paul, who said this over in 1 Timothy, that Christ Jesus, whom came into the world to save sinners, he says, of whom I'm the chief. I was a Jeffrey Dahmer. That's what Paul's saying. I was a Hitler. I was anybody else you could lay out there. That's what Paul's saying. I was him. But God didn't look away. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and to save that which was lost. Don't know your heart here this morning. This is a salvation message to you this morning. It says, but he came to know Jesus on the road to Damascus. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. We know that as well. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's some of Paul's words later on. The wait was worth it. I don't know if you've been lost here for 80 years. I don't know if you've been lost here. You're lost and undone here and you've only been here just a few months. I don't know if you're 7 years old, if you're six, if you're five. I don't know your age. But when you come to Jesus, I'm telling you, the wait will be worth it. It will be worth it. The Father looks into the depth of your sin and mine and still says, I want you. I love you. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy, the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought unto God. Then listen to what it says. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, a recompense will be made. But when thou makest a feast, says, go to the poor, to the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You know what that's saying? You go to the drug addict. You go to the alcoholic. You go to the ones that's had abortions. You go to the ones that's all the that's murdered. You go to those people and you invite them to the supper of the Lamb. That's what it's saying. Jesus said, I come to save those. He said, those that are whole don't need a physician. They don't need one. He said, it's the ones that aren't. Brother said, we live in a world where the fields are white with harvest. You agree with that? But I can also tell you we live in a world where the ones that go out to do the harvest, there's very few of them. Very few. Jesus has called all of us to go out to the harvest. And I'm telling you, when you see a soul saved, when you see a soul come to this altar, when you see them give their life to Jesus, the wait's worth it. The wait's worth it. You see? What the Father did, the Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. And the Father had been waiting for a long time. I feel the Father had been waiting for a long time for his son to come over that ridge. I've heard this said before. They think that the Father stood up there and just watched. Every day he would go up and watch and see if he could see his son coming. See if he see his son coming back. That's what I've read that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I got a feeling that may be true the way he acted here. But just like with so many of our prayers, when we don't see them happen in the time frame we want them, I'll bet the Father, there was quite a few times when the Father thought, man, this ain't going to do no good. He's not coming back. He'll not be here again. He won't be back again. But praise God. Praise God. He looked out there, and I could see, I bet he seen him about that small at one point. And he kept watching, and he kept seeing him coming, and he kept seeing him coming. And finally, he recognized who he was, Belinda. He didn't wait there at the door and raise all kind of Cain with him. Where have you been? Why didn't you come back? Why did you do what you did? He didn't do that, did he, Patty? Ken, he went and fell on his neck, and he hugged him, and he said, I love you. I love you. Put the best on him. Put the best on him. Because brothers and sisters, we're going home one day. Isn't that awesome? It was worth the wait. No matter how much that father had to wait, it was worth the wait. I say this, your prayers, like I said this morning, keep on knocking, keep on praying. One of these days, you know what? You may go on to heaven one of these days, and those prayers still may not be answered, but they're still there. They're still there. And one of these days, up in heaven one day, you know what? You may see that loved one that you prayed for one day. You may see him. Because why? Because those prayers are still there. They're still there. And you know what? Keep looking. Patio's grandsons, they may look as big right now, but one day, they may be right up there with you one day. Praise God. It's worth the wait. It is worth the wait. And you know what? Keep on plodding. There'll be times you'll be fly like an eagle. There'll be times you'll be running and not get weary. Tony, most of the time we're just going to plod along. We're going to believe. God, steady and slow, God. That's the way I want to be. Steady and slow. I want you to have that in my life, that peace, that strength, and that faith to believe that no matter what, God, I want to wait on you and not get ahead of you. Amen? They come and get a song this morning.